Red Shoes Rock. It is Red Shoe Day, a symbol marking Fetal Alcohol Awareness Day, which is observed today across the globe. Wearing her red tennis shoes this morning is Gigi Davidson to talk about a conference this month on September 18th at the Halikoa Hotel.
Well, first of all, I want to bring to people's attention that today is 9-9, which signifies 9 months of having a baby. So it's International Fetal Alcohol Awareness Day. And people are wearing Red Shoes Rock to create the movement.
Okay. And you're wearing red shoes today.
And I am, and it's a worldwide movement in many countries. So it's pretty cool. It's serendipitous that it falls on today. I got into this realm of work because I myself adopted a Russian child when he was 3 and a half. And he went undiagnosed until he was 18 with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, or FASD. But then when I learned about it, the pieces started fitting together. His struggles in school, he went to 10 different schools, always trying to set him up for success and never really knowing what was wrong. He got labeled unmotivated, lazy, ADD, kind of the typical thing. And I knew it wasn't that because I spent hours doing homework with him. Fetal alcohol is 100% preventable, yet 85% are misdiagnosed or undiagnosed. Most commonly is ADHD or autistic. And these families and their loved ones really need and deserve help. It's caused by a mother drinking while her baby is developing in utero. And there's a significant amount of damage that's done to the frontal lobe, which is responsible for executive function in the early days. As a matter of fact, the only time that a child would have facial features is if the mother was drinking during days 17 to 19 of pregnancies. So the vast majority do not have any facial features. They call it an invisible disability, and that's also part of the problem.
That's amazing to me that they can actually, hone it down to those days.
It is amazing. And it's a syndrome, so every child's different, and it depends on when the alcohol was ingested, how much was ingested, the genetics of the mother. The scary part is 50% of pregnancies are unplanned, and many people don't know they're pregnant for the first couple of months. So I'm on a mission, and all of us are on a mission to build awareness of this permanent brain-based disability.
And so you decided to kind of reach out and network with people here in Hawaii.
Yeah, so we've networked with people in Hawaii, and there was a state task force, and it kind of dissolved due to rifts in funding. But we have a Hawaii FASD Action Group, which has taken it on, and we have, probably 35 members from all constituents of our community, because this disability touches all constituents of any community. We put on a conference in 2017 for 200 people, and we're putting on another one that is fully subscribed for 200 more people at the Halikoa Hotel. It's an all-volunteer group, and we're making great strides. We have a fundraising committee. We have a speakers bureau. We'll go speak to anybody that wants us. And it's a good group of people that are really dedicated to doing it. I also needed a solution because we know that as parents, we know that we're going to outlive our children. So when I did find out my son was diagnosed with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, I delved into it in a big way, read a lot, attended conferences, made a lot of connections across the U.S., and decided to form a nonprofit called FASD Communities, whose mission is to create communities for young adults with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder to help them become contributing members of their community. What it looks like is small group homes. We opened our first one in Wisconsin. It took us about 9 years. In 2018, we've been operating over a year. We just had our one-year anniversary celebration. And it's a farming agricultural model. We have rabbits, chickens, a donkey, and they're growing vegetables. We have four females. They're all in their 20s. And only 15% of this population can live independently. So we know there's a need. I get calls all the time from people wanting one in their backyard. We're working with someone that wants to open one in New York right now. And we started in Wisconsin because the core of our group was from the Midwest, and Hawaii's economics made it difficult to start here.
So I'm trying to understand. So is it a kind of a social disability?
It's mostly behavioral, and there are things that just don't work. They don't get cause and effect. They function at a half of their chronological age. So the expectations for a 21-year-old to go out and rent an apartment and keep a job, you're really more like dealing with a 12-year-old, and when you would never ask a 12-year-old to do that. Their short-term memories are generally very poor. They function on a very concrete level. They're very black and white. They can't generalize from one situation to the next. And they make, because they don't get cause and effect or consequences, they make the same mistakes over and over again. Thus, many end up incarcerated for minor offenses, but because they've done them 10 times. So we as parents band together and said, we need to make more successful outcomes and create a protective environment. They're easily exploited by others, and that's why we have our group home. It's going well. The girls participate in farmers market. They make jewelry, they create baked goods, and they sell vegetables. And they said to me when I was recently there, I said, so you guys are all good friends? And they said, no, we're not friends, we're sisters. I'm like, great. And I think one of the downfalls is that they so badly want to be loved and included, and somehow they get exploited by people that want to exploit them. So it's common to be sexually molested and things like that through no fault of their own. Often they get caught holding the bag for something they had no idea that was really happening.
So they're very vulnerable.
Very vulnerable. So that's why we've created, what works well for them is structure, repetition, and really ongoing mentoring, and not like a mentor that'll last for a year or two, but a mentor that will be there through their whole lives. And what we see is important is having them own their disability and coming to terms with where they need help or where they need extra supports. Those that are able to do that really take off. But there's a lot of people that don't want to admit to having a disability. They just want to be quote-unquote normal, whatever that is, you know.
And so this conference, this upcoming conference, what will the focus be this year?
There's three focuses, and we're bringing in FASD experts from the mainland and Canada. One focus is on the judiciary system. One focus is on the behavioral health component, and the other focus is on professional and educational development for, like, the Department of Education. And we're having 200 people have already registered, which is pretty cool.
And had we just not focused on the need in our community for this group?
We have not, but we are not alone in that. Pretty much the whole world hasn't focused on it, and it's a population that totally falls through the cracks after age 18. If they get services in school, because so many are misdiagnosed or undiagnosed, they probably aren't getting the right supports that they really need. But if once they do get those supports, they can do well.
So share with us some of the heartbreak, I guess, when you have a special needs child, because, you know, your desire is to see them succeed and to love and be loved, you know, just like any other human being. And you have these struggles and it's hard.
I think it's very hard. It's a lonely world for parents because your friends, your family, this is such an invisible disability that they don't really get it until they live with them. And that's pretty common. I hear that from everybody. And these parents go way above and beyond the realm of quote-unquote normal parenting. A lot of these kids, not mine, went into rages and were very verbally abusive and punching holes and things like that. And once again, they can't control it. It's their brain. It's part of their brain damage. Their emotional components are kind of flat. They crave, and the outcomes are not good because they self-medicate with either drugs or alcohol, or they just so badly want to be loved and included. And it's hard to see your friend, you know, you grow up and they get invited to birthday parties. It's hard to see your child not be invited because they're socially awkward or something like that. So I feel like the parents really need and deserve help, just like you would help a child that had a visible disability like Down syndrome.
So your desire then is to help educate people, prevent these cases, and then also just to help parents who are in this situation, you know, to, I guess, be able to understand what are the services that are available to them at, you know, particularly if this is diagnosed early on.
Right. And so often it isn't. So often I hear stories over and over how they didn't learn until they were 17 or 18. And in our case, you know, I tried with the pediatrician let you down. And when, you know, when your kid's five or six, you think the doctor knows it all and you rely on what they tell you. the therapist is like, well, I don't think this therapy is working. So we tried numerous things. We even tried him to get diagnosed, because there was one smart person at Shriners that was a resident that said, has anybody spoken to you about fetal alcohol? And I'm like, no, what is it? And he gave me something to read. I took it back to the pediatrician and he poo-pooed it. So I think the bigger picture is really educating all constituents of our community about this disability, and so they can become familiar with it and so we can identify more people with it. Yes, prevention is awesome if we could prevent it, but if we can't, if people don't know they're pregnant, they need to know that this is, that they're risking a potential baby. And nobody harms their baby on purpose.
And so this person at Shriners then was really able to give you a clue as to what was going on with your son.
He was, and he gave me a clue at 4 years old, but we still didn't find out till he was 18.
Okay, so if folks want to know more about this, how can we help?
Yeah, well, we would love people to help either on a volunteer basis or with donations. They can visit our website at fasdcommunities.org. They can email me at fasdcommunities@gmail.com, or they can call me at 523-8191. Our Speakers Bureau from the Hawaii FASD Action Group is pretty much willing to go anywhere and give a presentation and do follow-up.
Gigi Davis, thank you so much for being here and sharing your story.
Thank you so much for having me on this special Fetal Alcohol Awareness Day.
Gigi Davidson is with FASD Communities, helping to raise awareness about the dangers of drinking alcohol while pregnant, as it could cause fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. For more information about the possible facial signs of fetal alcohol syndrome and additional links, go to our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.